But I can bring up any college kid who's here, right?
Okay. I'm not going to talk about him, though.
Why?
I can't comment on him.
The kids who are here?
Specifically. I won't comment on them specifically. In general, I will.
What do you mean specifically?
Like if you gave me a guy, like the kid you mentioned from Colorado.
Yeah.
I wouldn't talk about him specifically, like we like him or we might take him. Or
yeah, but you could talk about what a person has done in college and stuff like that.
General. I can't comment on college players.
Really?
Really.
Interesting. Got that mic right?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, hot. Back at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, it's a Friday football feast, now featuring Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. How you been, Coach?
Doing well.
What? How are the interviews going here, the interviewing process? I know you enjoy that process and getting to meet some of these guys who are going to be drafted in late April.
To me, Paul, that may be the biggest benefit of being here at Indianapolis because, you know, the 40 times, the vertical jumps, you know, I'm going to get all of that information on tape. But to be able to sit down across from a young man and get to know him a little bit and listen to him talk and just find out if he's going to be a good fit for us, that's a big deal for me.
How much different, Leslie, is it operating from 23 compared to 3 last year?
Oh, it's a lot different. When you are drafting where we are this season, I mean, there are a lot more variables that you're going to face as opposed to a season ago when, you know, you knew at number 3 or number 4 that what the potential possibilities were from a trade standpoint and so on. But this year, it'll be a lot different drafting where we are.
Coach, before we get into some, I got a bunch of stuff for you. I want to mention this. After the Green Bay loss, like week 13, I went on the air and said I was really frustrated. We had just lost a game. Ponder had a terrible game. We had all the penalties. I gave the coaching staff a vote of no confidence. I'm delighted I was wrong. And so I'm here to say I was wrong and look you in the eye and say I was wrong. And now I wish I had never said that because it turned out we won 4 games against playoff caliber teams that I didn't see coming. And I thought the season was absolutely over at that point. So I'm glad I was wrong. And if I could undo that, I would. But at the time, it looked bad at that particular moment.
You guys
low
want
point
to embrace
the season.
this is more emotional than I get, Leslie. It's unbelievable.
Well,
shake hands on the camera at Vikings.com. Okay,
all right.
Bridges
there
mended.
Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, you feel bad because you've been very, very good to us. You're such a likable guy, and I can't, as somebody that does what we do, I can't. You know, you got to sometimes hold people accountable in ways you don't know. And so, you know, as it turns out, as a lifelong Viking fan, I'm delighted we won those 4 games at the end of the year. I'm glad we finished the way we did. So, anyway, glad to be wrong.
Paul, we have some very passionate fans. And, you know, that ball game, you know, I saw it a little bit differently. I actually talked to our team after the game, and I told them for the first time at any point in our season, I saw them really come together on that day, and I felt like we were going to take off as a team. I told them that in the locker room immediately after that game. I saw some things I needed to see that I had been hoping that I would see, and I talked to them about that the night before the game. Mm. And even though we lost the game, I saw some things on our sideline and where our players were interacting with one another. I sensed that we were about to take off.
It wasn't like it was a blowout loss. It was a close game and a winnable game, and that was part of the frustration, I think, had just a couple of things gone differently, that would have been a really, really important win. Right. And then, had it been a blowout loss, you probably wouldn't be saying, hey, I saw things that I liked.
No, you're right. The way they fought and battled in a tough environment, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
And we definitely made some mistakes, but I knew that those mistakes were correctable, but the intangible that you couldn't see, unless you're sitting probably maybe in my seat or some of the other coaches, was the camaraderie and the stick-to-itiveness of our team, the way they stuck together. I said, man, these guys got a chance to do something special here. I've been in this situation before.
Yeah.
There was no finger pointing. There was no blaming. Guys were just fighting, and they came back. And I told them immediately after the game, man, you guys are about to take off. I can see it. And they did.
Leslie, you think Adrian Peterson can average 150 yards a game next year? I mean, it may be an absurd question on the surface, but the new baseline for him at the end of the year, it's like when we would play teams, I'd say the Texans want to get Arian Foster to 100 yards. This team wants to get this guy to 100 yards in this game. Mm. Our baseline with Adrian ended up being 150 yards.
Which is absurd.
Oh, I mean, everything he did this past season is unbelievable when you think about it. So to answer your question, could he possibly average 150? If he wanted to, Paul, I wouldn't put it past him. What he did this season, there's no way I could have predicted that he would rush for over 2,000 yards. And, you know, we were hoping that he'd come back and he'd get stronger as the season went on. But I mean, to know every single week that people are stacking a box and putting 8-9 people there, and he still rushes for close to 200. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling. So I think it's possible. It's possible because he's Adrian Peterson, and our offensive line has improved so much. Jeff Davison has done a terrific job with our offensive line, and it's possible.
You do you think when free agency begins, Leslie, and you start talking to people, you and Rick, do you think it'll be easier to convey a message to certain free agents, given you were 10-6, you made the playoffs, you have the MVP, you were an inch from winning the division last year, so clearly the product is going the right way in a hurry. Do you think that'll make it easier to talk to certain free agents?
Oh, without a doubt. I know there are agents contacting Rick and Rob Brzezinski about, you know, coming to Minnesota. So I know that time will come. I mean, there are a lot of people excited about what we're doing, and that's a good thing. We've built a very good foundation. The fact that Adrian had the type of season he had, the type of season that our team had. So there's a lot of excitement behind our team.
When Adrian has the season he has, Coach, is it fair to say that you can give a little more scrutiny to your quarterback because he had the luxury of having defenses that were playing almost entirely to stop Adrian, not that they could, but does that mean that we can hold a little more accountability for Christian?
Well, from our vantage point, Paul, the most important thing is that he does what we ask him to do within the game plan. You know, our offense is going to be run through number 28, through Adrian. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So our quarterback, we need you to do a great job, but when we have opportunities to hit plays down the field, let's take advantage of those. If we say we want to hit a three-step drop, let's take advantage of those because we don't want to be a team that's going to throw it 30-plus times a game. That's not who we want to be.
Right.
So those opportunities that we do have, we have to cash in on them when they come.
Do you feel like Christian did that last year?
I really felt like in that month of December, he did everything we could have asked for at that quarterback position. He really showed us that he has to be able to lead us to a championship. There was no doubt in my mind in watching some of the things he did down the stretch.
Would you, the Vikings are, without generalizing because everything changes per game, but the Vikings, for the most part, are a run-first team that plays a 4-3 defense in a league where everybody's switching to an aggressive 3-4. Then you look at the teams in the Super Bowl. Granted, they play 3-4 defense, but San Francisco and Baltimore, they have a run-first, play-solid defense element to them. Does that kind of lend hope to you that the approach you're taking in this pass-happy league, that the approach the Vikings take can get the team to a Super Bowl?
Oh, without a question. I was at the Super Bowl this year, the first time I attended as a spectator, and immediately after the game, I called Adrian, and I said, did you see the game? He said, yeah, Coach, I was watching. I said, both of those teams, you watch what they tried to do on offense. Adrian, can we get that? Can we get this done? Can we be here and get this done? He said, Coach, without a doubt.
That's awesome.
Because what we do fits what needs to happen in order to win a Super Bowl. There's no question in my mind about it. We're on the right track. You know, we got some things we got to address, but we're on the right track.
Yeah.
And those are two teams that have really solid offensive line play. You added Matt Khalil. You got Charlie Johnson playing in the right position, I think. And so it feels like your offensive line really improved a lot and set the table to allow you to run the offense you want.
Oh, no question. The addition of Matt Khalil was huge for our football team, without question. Very good run blocker. His strength had been coming out as a pass protector, but he did a great job run blocking as well. But then the way Charlie Johnson came on, John Sullivan improved, Brandon Fusco did a good job, and then Phil Lode has his most consistent season. So our offensive line under Jeff Davison's tutelage really came along, so it made, you know, our jobs a lot easier.
We've talked to Rick Spielman about the tough decision you have to make on Phil Lodehold. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Other teams are going to look at that same season you just called, you know, his most consistent season.
Right.
They're going to see that, and he's going to have some temptation. There are going to be other teams that are going to make a run for him.
Oh, no question, Paul. He did a very good job for us. We know there's going to be some competition for him.
Yeah.
I know he wants to remain a Viking, and I'm believing that we're going to be able to get it done.
That's the top offseason priority for you guys, isn't it?
Without question. We want to get Phil back in the fold. We know how valuable he is to our team and our franchise, so we have to get it done.
But from a business model standpoint, you know, you got a lot of money tied up in the left tackle. The center makes a lot of money. So if it comes to a franchise tag situation with the right tackle, from a business model standpoint, that's a lot of money in one unit. You have to look at it that way too, right?
Yeah, you know, without giving away any secrets about how we're going to approach it, you do have to look at it from that point of view. But Phil is so valuable to us. We need him on our roster in 2013.
Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier with Paul Charchian and Paul Allen. It's the Friday Football Feast from Indianapolis and the Scouting Combine.
At what point did you realize that Blair Walsh was going to be a kicker that was going to be absolutely unflappable, have ice in his veins, and be a guy that can make game-winning kicks for you?
We felt like he would be good. I mean, we drafted him in the sixth round, so we had an idea he'd be a good kicker. But to say, Paul, that he would go 10 for 10 plus 50.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. Yes. I mean, you know, set an NFL record. So,
Big situations, right?
Big situations. Clutch situations.
Absolutely.
Without blinking.
Situation. Yeah.
And what he did for us on kickoffs. I mean, that helped make our defense better as well. Mm-hmm. So, he was vital to our success this season. Just great job by Mike Prefer.
Yes.
You know, getting him ready week in and week out. And then going out and scouting him. And saying, this is the guy we need to take. So, great job by Mike.
And I guess more specifically, was there a point at which you knew he's a guy that I could put in with a game-winning kick at, you know, from 53, as opposed to, doing something else?
Well, we saw some things when we had him in our OTAs and then the mini camps, and then when we get to training camp, he was making some of these kicks, and I'm going like, man, this is pretty good, you know what I'm saying? But it's practice, right?
Yeah.
And so he's in warm-ups in the preseason. He's hitting these long kicks, 50-plus, and I'm going like, man, this is a lot better than I thought. And so when it got to game situations, the first one, that Jacksonville game with the game on the line, and he makes the game-winning kick, well, everybody's confidence goes through the roof at that point. He just consistently got better as the year went on.
Leslie, first conversation we've had since the season ended, and you've done all of your postseason evaluations, watched the tape, graded everybody. With us here for 2 days, you know, we talk to a lot of people off the microphone, and they'll compliment or offer opinions on the team. And, of course, most people are talking about Adrian Peterson, the amazing season off the ACL. But for me yesterday, I had no fewer than five people just rave about Harrison Smith. And just in their evaluation and looking back, just how good Harrison Smith was. And now that you've evaluated it, we knew he was good. We know he got to the end zone two times. But just how good was he as a rookie?
Hey, add that six people that are going to tell you how good he is.
Really?
He had a great year for us and really solidified our defense, helped us to improve tremendously in the secondary. And his play, and I will point to as maybe the single biggest reason our secondary improved last season. He had that type of an impact, both as a tackler as well as in deep pass defense. He really set the tone in so many ways, the way he practices and the way he plays. So he has a bright future. We're excited about him. Very, very happy that we went up and got him in the draft. He's going to be a great player for us. A
few more minutes with the head coach, Paul.
Well, I need to ask the touchiest subject, the questions about the touchiest subject on the team, and that's Percy Harvin. Mm. You know, we saw him have some sideline disagreements with your coaching staff, and there have been rumors of some things that happened inside of Winter Park, which I'm guessing you're not going to confirm or deny, but that's out there as well. Obviously a really, really special player. To frame it up in a question, well, do you believe he will be on your team? Do you want him on your team? Is he somebody that you want to coach next year?
You know, Rick Spielman has done a good job repeatedly saying that there's no intent to move Percy Harvin, and that's the truth. He's a guy that's very valuable to our football team. And I'm hoping that I get a chance to coach him next season. I'd like to be able to do that.
Anybody here talk to you guys about him? You know, this is feeler central, where people just try to get feelers on things.
Yeah.
Anybody
right
talk to you
that.
Guys about him?
I don't know who's talked to Rick about Percy. He hasn't divulged that information to me.
Have you had a sit-down with Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger from LSU? Have you had a chance to meet him?
Not yet, but we will eventually.
Oh, yes. You will?
Yes.
Okay, so do you choose the players with whom you want to chat, or is everybody made available? Like, how's that work?
No, we put in, for the guys we would like to sit down and interview, and then the league, works that out and has it set up in an order for us to be able to talk to them. But we request certain guys.
Interesting.
And we're going to request to have certain guys come and visit us at Winter Park as well.
Yeah.
When you go through the interview process, do you ask tough questions? Do you try to put guys in uncomfortable situations and ask them the questions that they really hope you're not going to ask?
Oh, no doubt about it, Paul. We want to see if they're going to be honest also, along with if there's a comfort level, when you're talking with a guy, just hearing him be able to regurgitate information back to you. So, we want to put him in some uncomfortable situations with some of the questions that we ask.
Anything new with Antoine Winfield? Should we expect him to be on the team next year? And I'm just asking because he's nearing the end of his career.
Yeah, in all my conversations with him after the season, he said he wants to come back at least for one more season.
Good.
So, he had a terrific year for us. Did a great job, and he stayed healthy for the most part, so we love having him back.
What about Josh Robinson? Did he tail off a little bit at the end?
I think that rookie wall you hear about a little bit, I think he may have hit that wall a little bit, but he showed that he's going to be a guy who's going to do a very good job for us going forward. Did a lot of good things over the course of the season. Felt like it got a little bit tougher for him late in the year.
If this is considered a deep draft from a defensive tackle standpoint, does that mean you can get good defensive tackles back in the draft, middle of the draft? Because you guys did amazingly well with round four last year, and you've done well with round four before with Everson Griffin. Can teams wait for defensive tackles and get good ones middle of the draft?
Well, I'm being told by our scouts that this is a very deep draft for defensive linemen. So based on that information, it looks like we will be able to get a good player late in the draft on the defensive line. So we'll see how things go. You don't know what other teams are going to do ahead of you, but supposedly it's a deep draft for defensive linemen.
How'd you guys end up with the Lions' fourth-round pick? That's a fantastic pick. You flipped a fifth-rounder last year, I remember.
Right.
But how does that happen? Do they call you? Do you call them?
Well, it was a little bit of negotiations between us and them, and they got what they wanted. We got what we wanted.
Yeah.
How do you evaluate Jarius Wright? And when he had to come in and fill in for Percy Harvin, he became a pretty big part of this offense. But he was inactive for most of the season prior to that.
Yeah, and he showed some things in the preseason. Then he got injured in the preseason, mm-hmm. and it took him a while to get healthy. And the good thing about Jarius, Paul, is he's a very bright guy. So even though he wasn't participating in the games, wasn't dressing, he was always a guy. You know, you're watching him practice, how he was picking up information and running routes and learning. And so I think we all had confidence that he could do it. It was just a matter of when his time would come, and he did a terrific job.
If Percy is on this team next year, how do you find ways to get Jarius right on the field as well?
Well, we're going to find a way because he showed that he deserves to be out there.
Yeah. You know,
we got to get him on the field and get the ball in his hands. He can make plays.
Is he a guy that can – that it seems like his natural position's in the slot. Do you have any hesitation to playing him outside?
Really don't. I mean, he showed that he could line up outside and make plays for us. The big thing for him would be working hard this offseason to develop some stamina and endurance. I mean, there were times, you know, he had to come out of games for different reasons. And you get that sometimes with young players. But he's shown that he can line up outside, but for sure his strength is inside.
What does Adrian Peterson do this offseason? Obviously, last offseason, hopefully never will be replicated. Maybe he'll never have to deal with ACL recovery. But has anything changed with his offseason workout regimen, given what he did last year with such a success?
Well, just in talking with him, Paul, I mean, he wants to work out as hard as he did a season ago or harder. He wants to really come back and be even better than he was last season. And, you know, that's Adrian. You know, he wants to be able to do well, and he's going to work extremely hard this offseason. He's not going to take an offseason off because he's not rehabbing a knee injury. He's going to be as focused as he ever was.
A couple of quickies to close here for the head coach. Charge you first.
You're in a division that's got a lot of really good wide receivers, and the Packers are super deep at wide receiver, and Brandon Marshall and Calvin Johnson. Regardless of Percy being here or not, it seems like there wasn't a lot of production from your outside receivers. Is that an area that you'd like to see the team get better at, your outside receivers, regardless of whether or not Percy's on the team?
There's no question. We've got to improve our wide receiver depth along with finding the right guy for us to be that vertical threat. So it's an area we're going to address this offseason for sure. Mm-hmm. We've got a number of areas we have to address, but wide receiver will be one of them.
What are the other areas you'd like to see the team improve?
And there are so many positions that I'd like for us to take a look at on the defensive side as well as the offensive side. I'd like for our depth to be a little bit better. I'd like for us to create some competition at other positions. I don't think you want to rest on your laurels in this league. You know, we got to create competition along our roster in order for us to take that next step.
Speaking of competition, Joe Webb was your backup this year, this past season. The one opportunity we got to see him in the playoff game didn't go very well. Do you expect that Joe Webb will be your number two quarterback coming into this next season?
Well, we're going to open that position up for competition like we're going to do a bunch of positions, and Joe will be one of those guys competing for it. He's put in a tough spot in that last ball game, a playoff game, without any snaps over the course of the year. We've seen Joe make a lot of plays for us in the past, but that was a tough night for him. But
that was a difficult spot to come into when you don't know if you're going to start or not.
Right.
A lot of people have questioned the coaching staff's usage of him in that game because he threw a lot rather than necessarily running a lot. Do you feel like, looking back at that game, you would have given it a different game plan to Joe? It felt like he was executing a Christian Ponder game plan instead of necessarily a Joe Webb game plan. Do you think that's fair? Would you do anything differently?
No, we had some runs in there for him, and we utilized some of those runs and got off to a good start doing that.
Yeah.
But at some point, you do want to hit some plays down the field, and
yeah.
There were some plays there we just didn't connect.
Anything new with Greg Childs? With all those knee injuries, it looks like free money from here, but can we cash in on that free money?
You know, he's making progress, Paul. Just in talking with Eric Sugarman and the rest of our training staff, he's making progress. It's still too early to determine whether or not he's going to make it back from his injuries, but he's making progress.
Leslie, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks for the time, Leslie.
Congratulations on the season last year, and enjoy the combine, okay?
All right, thank you, guys.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, nice enough to stop by the combine spot here at Lucas Oil Stadium. The radio shows are provided by Whiting Clinic, LASIK, and Eye Care, and when we return, we'll play back a taped interview we conducted yesterday with Rich Gannon, former National Football League MVP, had some very pointed commentary on Vikings quarterback Christian Ponder. That's next from Indianapolis. This is the Friday Football Feast.